Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 127 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and as always, joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters. Let's do this thing.
Yes, let us do this thing.
God, I love that I have to be the one to bring the energy
at the start of every show every week. Every time you miss an episode, like, and I like fill in for you as like the intro host and like, you know, person guiding the action, I have to go and get like all amped up and it exhausts me, Jim. Like, I am so tired afterwards. And like, you know, like I have like my weekly like gym workout on Monday evenings. And like on days that I like come in, like I do your job. Like, you know, I come into that and I'm like so like worn out and like, you know, my trainer's like, what is going on with you? Did you have another rough podcast? I'm like, I did. It was so hard being so excited all the time.
Well, anyway, if you're new to the show, congratulations. We are a Pokemon podcast that really gives you everything you need to know to make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. Whether that is, if you're just coming for some news, boy, do we got some news. You coming for some takes? We got some takes.
You coming for some ones.
You coming for some Pokemon facts? We got those too. We got everything
usually
you need.
Usually good ones.
Last week's was pretty terrible, but it's we're at the mercy of the Pokedex on that one. Anyway, the show's broken up into three parts. First part is the news. Second part is our deep dive into some of the bigger news of the week. And then Christian gives us Pokemon fact of the week at the very, very end. This week, if you also can watch the show live on Twitch, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 5 to 6-ish across the pond, twitch.tv/comicbook, where sometimes you can catch us when there are new Pokemon trading card game releases, break open some packs.
Look at that.
I found it. I was able to get my hands on an ETB. So I expected all of the packs in the ETB that we're talking about, the new Celebrations set that just came out for the 25th anniversary. I thought all of the packs in the ETB, at least the ETB, right? Like, I knew the tins were going to have packs from other sets and whatever, but I figured for the ETB, they would pack that thing just full of Celebrations. Turns out that's not the case.
How many?
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Random packs from other sets and like from terrible sets too. Like, I think I got 1 Chilling Rain, 1 Battle Styles, 2 Chilling Rain, 3 Chilling Rain, 1 Battle Styles, and a Vivid Voltage.
Ah, there's the Vivid Voltage. I was wondering, I was just going to ask you when you said terrible packs, it's how many come from Vivid Voltage?
And then, and then there are 10.
Somehow.
Then there are 10 of the Celebrations packs. I have pre-opened one, so I figured we'd start the show by opening one. Now, there are a number of cards. There are a number of cards that you want to get from this set. I was actually just looking at someone opened, what did they say? 778 packs and basically pulled like the data from them for the pulls. And so it looks like the cards that you're looking to get there is a Tapu Lele full art card that is in the set, and that is supposedly a 1 in 259 pull. There are a number of 1 and 1/11s, including a Dark Umbreon, Shining Magikarp, the Mega Rayquaza. Let's see what else there is. The Arceus. Arceus one. I think that's about it. Ironically, the Charizard. Oh, and the Mew. There's a golden secret rare Mew. That's a 129. Of obviously the three OGs, the Charizard, Blastoise, and Venusaur. Obviously, Charizard is the harder one to get at a 1 in 97 rate. Blastoise is the second hardest, and Venusaur looks to be the easiest at 1 in 59. The one of the easier ones to get is that full art Fat Pikachu card, which is adorable, and I love it. And so... that is, sorry, not, it's not Arceus. I just see someone in Keller in chat. That is not the, it's not that one. It is, I can't see it because it's all blurred and small. Whatever. Anyway, I'll pull it up. But anyway, there are a number of Pikachu cards in this set. Pikachu doing various things. Personally, cards I'm looking forward to get. I would love to get the three OGs. I would love to get the birthday Pikachu card. That was a card I like was kind of always on my hit list of cards to get. Like, and I'm sure I will inevitably pick up an original one somewhere. The Rocket Zapdos is like, that's one of my favorite card art of all time. I have the original. I would just, you know, I'd like to have another one because it's just how I am. Anyway, these cards are four in a pack, all holographic. Let's see what we get.
Before you start, the two big ones that you're looking for, or three big ones, I suppose. Charizard, which is going for big bucks right now on TCG Player. Umbreon Star, going Sounds for slightly right. less. And then on the normal, you know, from the like non-reprints, The big one is the Mewtwo, the secret rare Mewtwo, or secret rare Mew.
Mew, yep.
Shiny Mew, I believe.
Cosmog, okay. Yveltal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Chunky Pikachu. I love this card. This is a great looking card.
Yeah.
It is a great looking card.
Look at that. Three cards in that one pack.
Put it right next to the original. There you go. Look at that. Look how lovely that is. I'll put that one back. All right. Let's do one more. Because we got it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Palkia.
That is indeed a card.
Zekrom.
Also a card.
Ooh.
Oh, hey.
Hey, OG Venusaur.
You.
And Zamazenta V. Oh, all right. All right. That's not a bad start.
No, not at all. You got the best card in the entire set.
Right. Well, I opened four. Stop it. I opened four packs before the show, so let's just go through these.
Okay. Well, apparently Jim's got the itch.
I do have the itch. I've been waiting to do this.
Got the set.
Those two birds.
I have one of the real ones of those.
That is a pretty card, the Mega Rayquaza EX, and another Chunko Pikachu. Nice. All right, let's do a last one, and then we'll open more like at the break. Okay, first one is Kyogre. Oop, come on, figure yourself out.
Nope.
It'll load in a second. Zekrom. I got another Zekrom.
There it is.
Another Ho-Oh.
It's almost like there's like 20 cards in this set.
And a Lunala. Yeah, so that's going to be the thing that we're going to come up against. There are going to be a lot of dupes because there's only like 20 cards in this set. And that's why there's only four. All right, well, let's continue on because we got some news for today. Did anyone care to do the community day yesterday to get shiny Duskull?
It was on Saturday, Jim. So if you
it was on Saturday, I have lost track of time.
I was about to say, if you did the community day yesterday, you might have noticed that there weren't a lot of Duskull.
I remember now that I did it, but I did it like towards the end of the day. And then my main focus was Pokemon Go on Saturday. And then my second to main card was, my second to main thing was fantasy football yesterday. So that's what kept me locked to my phone. Night Fighters in the chat, 105 shinies.
Yeah. So the nice thing is I got the Duskull shiny approximately like 3 years ago. So I had like no real desire to do the community day. So I ended up logging in because I went over to one of my like old college friends' houses and they have two kids. And of course, because these are kids under the age of 10, they were immediately like, ah, yes, it is the Pokemon guru. Let us go and bug him the entire time about Pokemon things. And so they were like asking me to go through like my entire Pokemon Go collection. So I was like, casually catching Duskull as I was going through, because they're like, do you have this legendary? I'm like, I do have this legendary. I have all of the legendary Pokemon. And, you know, that's all they wanted to see was all my legendaries.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah,
that's fine. I would be the same. Next time I see you in person, I'm just going to be like, hey, can I see
your Pokemon Go? Let me see all your legendaries.
I did it. I did not have a shiny, so I just did it basically to get the shiny. Once I got that, I was basically there. I mean, it was nice to get, it was a nice XP Saturday for me. But that was basically it. So, you know. What's do we know what the next one is coming up?
I don't believe they've announced it yet.
I don't think they've announced it. Yeah, have they not?
No, I don't think they have. No. I would have written about that. They did announce, you know, they did strongly tease Galarian Slowking as coming into the as part of the Halloween that's coming up. So, you know, we're going to get that, which will be nice, especially as, you know, like, unless you really grind for those Galarnica or Galarica wreaths in Pokemon Sword and Shield, you know, Slowkings are a bit hard to get in that game. So I'm curious to see if they are as difficult to obtain in Pokemon Go or if they're pretty easy to get. So,
well, I mean, I would imagine they'll probably stick a bunch of the stuff that we need out there leading up to this in order to make sure everyone gets them. But
yeah, no, I totally forgot. So they did like a social media post, like teasing, like, oh, some, we hear like strange chanting in the darkness and stuff like that. I'm like, what is even like, I'm like, strange chanting? Like, do we have cultists in the Pokemon universe?
Oh, absolutely. And
I wish. I totally forgot that was a thing that, you know, Galarian Slowking does. This is like apparently chants deep in the wild because it has like eerie spell as its exclusive move. And, you know, that's like its shtick. And I was like, oh. It's like, man, that's we need more cultists in the Pokemon universe. Like more people worshiping like Pokemon.
I'm more surprised that we actually haven't gotten that as like a gang, like one as that being one of the gangs in a game yet. Like just severe. Like, I mean, the gangs are already kind of culty, but I mean more like occult culty.
Yeah, like I feel like
like Death Eaters, Harry Potter masks, hoods with robes, like everything.
Yes,
I need everything.
I feel like we were trending there for a while with Team Galactic and the name escapes me of the Innova group. But, you know, those had some pretty strong cult-like qualities to them and were, you know, they weren't, you know, dedicated to like worshiping Pokemon. They were dedicating to like manipulating Pokemon because that's the Team Plasma. Thank you. I was about to say, we now have so many freaking teams in the Pokemon universe. Like, yeah, I just can't remember all of them. And then we like, you know, did like a hard like left turn. Like, you know, after we got to like, you know, N and all the weird stuff, you know, involving Team Plasma, it's like, you know what? We're going to go and just get a bunch of like, you know, well-dressed fascists, you know, with the Pokemon X and Y stuff with Team Flare. You know, it's just a bunch of well-dressed dudes who wanted to create a super weapon and blow up the Pokemon world. You know, and kill off humanity for the sake of Pokemon. Just, you know. Anyways.
Love it.
Yeah, so we got some Pokemon Go news, but we also got some main series. Well, not even main series Pokemon. This is actually Pokemon Go news. We'll continue the Pokemon Go news because the big story out of the Pokemon out of this next bit is the Pokemon Go bit, and that is Pokemon is bringing back live events in 2022. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have missed out on your North American championships, your European championships, your Pokemon World Championships, you will have your chance to do that. And for the first time ever, competitive Pokemon Go is being added to the circuit. So you can
compete
in real Pokemon Go. And in order to, like, the thing that cracks me up about it is they're using Great League as the format.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're using Great League as the format. The people who, there's a much, I guess, lower bar to entry for Pokemon Go. People who like rank really high in like the Go Battle League get like early access to register for like the competitive Pokemon Go service, the competitive Pokemon Go format. Yes, Great is the official PvP format in Go, and you know now that has been like you know actually made official. because we now have like official that's actually being supported beyond a couple of like one-off tournaments. I think that there's been a competitive circuit for a while, but this is the first time that they've received official Pokemon company support, and you'll be able to do it live. There are a couple like weird things, like they're doing you won't bring your cell phone to the event to do the competition. You'll actually log in using your like Nintendo Trainers, your Pokemon Trainers Club account, and do it on official Pokemon cell phones.
That's weird.
Are they going to look like Rotom?
I have no idea.
What's the point if they don't look like Rotom?
It's true. If they're not in a Rotom like case or whatever,
or a Porygon.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's just a missed opportunity.
The other interesting thing is they are requiring vaccine code. You have to be show proof of vaccination to participate.
Which is unsurprising. I mean, I think at this point, you know, we have shown that we can do live events, or live events can be put on, you know, in a safe manner. Like, I mean, obviously it will limit some people, but I think this is a, good first step to
and it's the same thing that they're doing over in Japan. I mean, Japan has had a huge boost in vaccination rates in the last like month, 2 months, and you know, most of their live events, whether it's anime or anything like that, I mean, they're requiring vaccinations. So can't say I'm surprised in the least about it.
No, I'm not surprised by it, but it does make me laugh a little bit, like Pokemon says get vaccinated. You know, they're officially not messing around.
You know they won't be messing around when they use Pikachu to do some PSAs or something.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'd be, you know, like Pikachu getting the jab. But the World Championships are back on. So, they're finally going to do that cursed Pokemon World Championship in London, you know, two years after the fact. Oh,
took so long, man.
Well, it just kind of sucks. Like, you know, the big Pokemon news source, the guy who runs like the granddaddy of all the Pokemon sites, Serebii, you know, Joe Merrick is based out of like England, and he usually travels to the World Championships. And like, this was the final one that it was like, you know, finally he was going to have a World Championship in his backyard. And, you know, it's like cursed. He hasn't been able to do anything since then. So, you know, I'm glad that's finally happening. Like, I feel bad that I feel like the game has already moved on from the Galar region, like the franchise has.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still pretty cool. Like, and, yeah. You know, we are getting more Sword and Shield, at least through 2022, until year end 2022, unless they announce Gen 9 or a new set of Pokemon games, because Pokemon Legends and Diamond and Pearl will both not have, like, the... You know, they're not using that as the competitive format, nor should they.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, speaking of Legends, we got this is a pretty big piece of news about the game.
It is, but it isn't.
I'm very curious to hear your takes on it.
Yeah.
So Pokemon Legends Arceus, not a true open world game like many were hoping or thought. I didn't say hoped. Yeah. Many thought.
Now, you know, I will say this, you know, and I feel like the fan base has reacted appropriately here. At no point in time did the Pokemon company say that Legends was a true open world game. People just assumed that, and I feel like they let them go along with it. We know that they...
it was pretty... I mean, it felt like, at least at the start, pretty implied, but they didn't say it. So we
they never described it as such, you know, and part of this is it's just, you know, how they do their announcements.
Yep.
You know, they show the trailer, they release little tidbits of information because, you know, their marketing cycle, you know, lasts months. And so, you know, a few people noted like during the last update, you know, they released a bunch of screenshots and new like looks at the game. And it is, you know, and people noticed that, OK, it looked like we have five regions. And each of those regions are made up of areas similar to how they set it up with like Crown Tundra or Isle of Armor. We don't know how big those areas are. Somebody said that like one of the areas I think was like 30, like, you know, 30 areas, which is like, I want to say it's like either as large as one of the wild areas or twice the size of one of the wild areas.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think a lot of people kind of assumed, like, you know, I kind of assumed like it was going to be open world style in which you'd be able to like roam around large areas similar to the wild areas. Like, I assumed that we were going to get something akin to the wild areas. You know, I did not think that we would fully have access to the entire game. And, you know, a lot of games that are open world aren't actually open world to until the end.
Sure.
You know, they're gated open world games. Like, you don't see a lot of games in which you can just fully go and do anything right out of the gate. You know, so I don't think this was that big of a deal, but, you know, I do think it was good that they decided to like officially confirm that before people, you know, got their hypes, you know, got too hyped or got the wrong expectations. So like, I'm okay with it. I think it's going to be the largest ever Pokemon game in terms of size. I mean, we're getting five wild areas, like, you know, so like, and also, yeah, like how the Pokemon game is set up. This is, you know, like, unless like all the Pokemon level up with you, like, you know, in the wild with you, I feel like it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, you know, for, you know, like, you know, the Pokemon games, you start off low level and you build to higher levels. You know, that's how the game works. This isn't like and that's how open world games are too. There are tough areas that you're not supposed to challenge until you have like the experience and the level up. So, you know, okay, yeah, you don't have like one giant map. Who cares? As long as it's a good game.
Megan, yeah, how do you feel?
This is always kind of what I assumed. I assumed if I was going to hear anything, it would be Pokemon confirming that it was going to be like full open world, more like, you know, the comparison to Breath of the Wild that everyone makes, that you just seamlessly go around. I figured if that was the case, they were going to make a big point out of it, because that's how they did marketing with Breath of the Wild, you know, years ago. And so I always kind of figured it was going to be this gated section that just was kind of the most natural transition to me. So this update really just kind of confirms my suspicions all along. So I can't say I'm necessarily disappointed by it. And I'm not. I feel like this is realistically the next best step for them to make. Also, because when you kind of keep in mind for kids playing these games, I know what we always are saying, like, oh, Pokemon has grown with its fan base. And, you know,
right.
Definitely needs
more rails.
Yeah, as an adult who plays these games and, you know, Breath of the Wild, I'm very comfortable navigating open world games without instructions, just kind of freely going around and getting 100 plus hours playtime. But when I have had like nieces and nephews or even my friends' kids, you know, play open world games like Breath of the Wild is like a toad, they just like freeze. They don't know what to do. And it just overwhelms them and they stop playing. And I don't know if it's just they don't have enough experience with that kind of game, or they just don't, you know, have the interest at that point in this particular franchise as they would, you know, say Pokemon. But I think that it is very smart to have kind of those guide rails in, yep, while giving you the same experience of kind of open world in sections. It's not something that, you know, they just open the door and say, go do what you want. There's a story and you can find it if you feel like it. I feel like having that guide rail is important to Pokemon as a franchise. So I'm pretty okay with it. I think I kind of prefer it for right now.
Nice. I think that, yeah, I've seen a lot of people obviously compare it to Monster Hunter and all that. And I think that's a pretty fair random. But I think, like I said, this game is probably going to need some rails. And I think it makes sense. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I don't think that this is like a make or break. Like, you know, the format is radically different than every other Pokemon game we've had before.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that them successfully implementing that is much more important than me having the ability to travel from one end to the other end of the map.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, given the style, like, you know, since this is set in the past, you know, I can't freely, you know, hypothetically. You know, I don't know. We'll find out. Like, you know, I won't be able just to freely switch out my Pokemon out boxes. You know, there's only one village, you know, that they talk about. You know, I think that it just they're emphasizing other things. You know, it's an exploration style game and you don't need to make not every game needs to be open world and still be exploration. I've played good games that are exploration based that aren't open world. And I've played bad games that are open world that are themed around, you know, exploration. So, you know, you don't need open world for it to be a good game.
And that's not also to say that Pokemon might one day, you know, do that. I mean, I keep going back to the Zelda franchise as an explanation, but I mean, you see what Breath of the Wild did, which was game changing even from the previous game beforehand with Skyward Sword. That was very much a limited guide rails kind of regions that you would travel through. But they were, you know, they were expansive. And even before then, Twilight Princess, you know, it had kind of a similar feel, but Skyward Sword was really kind of like bigger open world-esque places, but, you know, it still had guide rails to travel. And then when Breath of the Wild came out, you know, everyone was stunned and shocked, and they've been working on it for so long behind the scenes. So who knows what Pokemon's doing if this is just kind of the test to see how it works. You know, I definitely think that that's still something, you know, that could very well happen for a side game for the Pokemon franchise. But right now, I think what they're doing with Arceus, given the other gameplay mechanics they're adding and just kind of the context of it being, you know, ancient quote unquote Pokemon, that it works.
I think Pika Trainer 99 brings up a good point. So plus Pokemon can attack the player. It brings a whole new level of danger to Pokemon games.
That is true. We're finally going to... We're finally going to get some, I mean, it only makes sense. You see some really angry Pokemon in like the anime and stuff. It only, and they even attack humans in the anime occasionally. It's not usually like brutal cleaver coming after your neck, but like it was only a matter of time before we got that in a game.
All right. Before we jump to our break real quick, let's go through some more Pokemon packs. And then we've got some like really cool fun news to talk about, so I'm excited. All right, here we go. Let's see. Boom, boom. Come on, focus in. Anyway, Cosmoem, Dialga. Ooh, one of those like old schooly full Zekrom.
That's a cool one.
And Professor's Research.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's the third card. The third card seems to be whatever, like, the rare one is.
I think so.
Yeah. It's all different since there's so fewer cards.
Here's another Palkia. Another Ho-Oh. I'm going to have a small flock of these, basically.
Good.
Another Zekrom. Zekrom. And a Solgaleo.
I like the cool hollow effect on that.
Yeah
it cool works for the works Pokemon.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Last one. Oh, come on. Focus in. Xerneas. Yeah. That's Groudon, cool looking Groudon.
My man.
I love Groudon. Another Palkia. And a Mew. It's a cute one.
Oh, so cute. So adorable.
Yeah. Well, anyway. All right. So those are those. Let's we'll be back in 60 seconds. We'll take a break. There we go. All right. We're getting a Pokemon theme park.
Yep, it's happening. It's happening!
Theme park. We have to put like a big asterisk there because biggest asterisk.
It's possible. Still a big deal. It's still a huge deal.
It's still a huge deal. Don't get me wrong, but when all the headlines are like Pokemon theme park is imminent, it's happening, but it's happening very slowly.
I mean, they just okay. So let's dial it back and explain what we're talking about. On a random, I believe it was like a random Wednesday, Universal Studios Japan and the Pokemon Company announced that they were collaborating on a new experience. It's a long-term partnership. They did not announce a Pokemon theme park. They did not say Universal Studios Japan is getting a Pokemon theme park. However, they straight up, like the Pokemon Company straight up said, yes, Universal makes very good theme park experiences that, you know, and they do a very good job with, you know, they understand Pokemon. They basically said Pokemon theme park stuff was happening. What that means, like, we're probably not going to get like Pokemon the theme park. We probably will get Pokemon characters at Super Nintendo World to start off, maybe a Pokemon ride, or perhaps even a full-on Pokemon land.
I would imagine if anything, they put a Pokemon Center in there, like a store that has probably more, that may be a little bit more experiential. I think that's an easy thing to drop in there.
Mm.
In my heart of hearts, they open something that's like a Safari Zone, which would be incredible. And then I can imagine like a Pokemon ride being something more along the lines of Snap than anything else.
You think it's going to be like maybe like a lazy boat ride sort of thing?
Something on a track, and you're given a thing to move around to take pictures with. Yeah.
So it seems like that would probably be the most likely case. I've discovered in the last like 3 weeks that Hoffer and I share love of theme parks. I'm like a big theme park. Like I love theme park history. Defunct Land. I follow so many podcasts that talk about theme parks. And Universal Studios Japan is interesting because they have done a bunch of pop culture initiatives like this, you know, in the last decade, with their most recent being their Cool Japan tourism package. And that was basically them a couple years ago saying, you know, we're going to bring all your favorite anime to Universal Japan. And they've done a pretty successful job at it. They've had Attack on Titan, Evangelion, Case Closed, Detective Conan, Sailor Moon. They've had a bunch of anime rides that they do. And they're in cycles, which is easy for them to do and retheme. And that seems like that's probably how they're going to test Pokemon most robustly. So they've said at first, basically the experience is going to be...
Yeah.
Our characters will be at the park. So you'll be able to see mascot Pikachu, which, I mean, honestly, that's worth a ticket alone. Just being able to know you can go see mascot Pikachu. And we know there's plenty of other mascots in Japan. There is Geodude for Jim. Maybe he'll show up. There's Lapras. There's, you know, various Eevees around. There's a lot of mascots that they can have at the park for meet and greet experiences or stage shows. What happens next is probably a simulator ride. That is kind of what Universal Studios Japan, that's their bread and butter for these kind of collaboration projects that they've done in the past, is some sort of car moving simulator ride. Like if you've been to Universal Studios here in the United States, you know, Spider-Man has one, Transformers has one. You know, that's something that Universal Studios, you know, in Japan likes to do as well. So a Snap ride would fit perfectly if you're just geared with a camera and it's like a point and shoot simulator ride. That would be great. And I can definitely see that happening. If Pokemon then, I guess, takes the next step and puts a ring on it and commits with Orlando, I definitely think we could get an expanded, you know, Pokemon center area within the park, like a nice little you know, Little Land. I think that is definitely a long way down the line, given the work that they've already committed with, you know, the Super Mario kind of land that they have going with Donkey Kong and future projects. But
is Super Mario Land coming to the States or not
yeah,
yet?
Yeah. Being a super, it's called Super Nintendo World, but yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it, yeah. So right now they've done a phase two opening in Universal and they're working on their big next part of the park, which is for Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong, which is such a weird, I mean, like I get it. But it's so weird.
They're definitely going to market and capitalize on that run of Nintendo classics. I mean, who knows? We could get, you know, anything from Zelda to other characters. Oh, now, we all know.
Just give me a Star Fox attraction.
Right.
Yeah, we all know that Pokemon.
I mean, Pokemon will bring money in hand over foot. I mean, they're not going to know what to do with the amount of money that they would get if they have a Pokemon park. And Universal is no stranger to that. You know, parks are hurting in light of the last 2 years of pandemic. They're going to want to put in an investment that they know is going to bring back money. So is Pokemon Company. This is a perfect collaboration of the two, but it's definitely going to be something that is seeded in the long term, just kind of based on how Universal Studios Japan has handled these collaborations in the past. They start off really slow and they take a little bit of time. And then they explode like 3 to 4 years down the line. And at this point, the collaborations have never even produced a full blown, you know, permanent park section. Think that Pokemon has a really good chance of doing that. It's just going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah,
I think that's fine. Because like if you think of like a Universal Studios park, like my dream, like Jim said, he wants a safari park. If you go to Universal Studios, and I've only been able to ride this when I was a kid, in the Jurassic World area, they have like the Petrodon flyers or whatever, mm-hmm. and like kids can go on it with their parents. And if that is not an opportunity to let you ride, like actually fly on a Pokemon, and they have different Pokemon you can fly on, stop.
I mean, you know what's, I mean, they're going to get you, they're going to give you basically like a Pikachu Gigavolt inspired, like roller coaster, basically. And like,
yeah, there will be something.
I do think that, you know, compared to like the previous like anime collaborations that Universal Studios Japan has done in the past, like this, the announcement itself feels a bit differently than those, which makes me think that, you know, I think it's, you know, to your point, Megan, and I think you're absolutely right about this. You know, Universal Studios Japan needs something big. They need something to get people back into parks. You know, they've had a bad couple of years. And so, you know, I think that, you know, they're going to, I think that they are, you know, they said it's a long-term partnership. They, you know, they're saying all the right things. That's like pointing to some sort of permanent attraction sooner as opposed to later, as opposed to kind of like cycling it in and out. Like, you know, I don't think that we're going to get like a, like, you know, like Pikachu days at Universal Studios Japan. It's like that's what we got with like Attack on Titan. I think it's going to be a more like permanent installation. But you know, like you're absolutely right. Like, you know, like we should not expect to see like, like get ready to ride the Pika, the Pika coaster, like, you know, next year or anything like that. It's going to be a few years before we get like anything, like, you know, anything substantive. And that's like, park rides take time.
Yep.
You know, especially when it's not just like, you know, like not just like a roller coaster or something like that. When it's like an actual something of substance. I mean, like. Yeah. You know, and Universal, and also for those wondering, like, give me Pokemon stuff here in the United States, understand that, you know, one, the Pokemon company would have to make a, you know, a separate licensing deal with Universal Studios to bring something over to the United States, which it makes sense that they would do it. You know, like, I don't think we're going to get, like, you know, Universal Studios Japan gets, like, you know, Pikachu, but, you know, Disney gets, you know, Pikachu here in the United States or something like that. Like, it's all set up to happen. But, you know,
I just want a Pokemon Center here. Just give me a Pokemon
Center. Honestly, at that point, I feel like that would be the best test of the waters in the United States. I mean, to its credit, Universal Studios Japan does tend to keep things insular. So, with, I mean, when they announced that the Nintendo World was coming to the Universal Studios here in Orlando, I was shocked but excited. So that definitely does give us a better chance of having this Pokemon deal replicated. It's not going to be replicated for a long, long time because the Super Nintendo world's not even open here in the United States at this point. So that's going to be even further down the line. I feel like it's definitely possible.
It's going to be our, it's going to be our grandchildren.
Oh man, it's going to be, I don't know, 50 years old. I'll be in line. Let me Mario Kart race.
So, you know, the good news is, Megan, is that me and you, as, you know, like theme park super fans and, you know, some of the premier theme park writers for comicbook.com, I mean, we have the easy end. We'll be doing, you know, a wild podcast has appeared, visits
live.
You know, Pokemon World.
Live live from it. Come on.
We'll be doing that in like 2024 when it comes out with Jim still stuck in Nashville. You know, like we'll have.
You don't think if you don't think I'm pulling the boss card on something like that,
Jim, you just really need to.
No, because me and you will be hosting. You know, live from the outside. Jim is going to be the reporter on the floor on rides, doing the podcast live while in costume as
you. That's right.
So it's going to be me and you standing outside the park with Pikachu, right. And it's like it's cutting James to Street. Jim on the Pika coaster.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Because if that's not the kind of entertainment we provide at this podcast. What
Jim, if? Just start budgeting. Just start pre-budgeting. You know, start. Let's start saving up the CBS money now, so that all three of us can go and do this. You know, that's how. Like, the heck with going to San Diego Comic Con in 2025. Yeah. Let's send the Pokemon.
This is way more important.
Let's send the Pokemon podcast to Japan. Yeah. I think we've decided this. An executive decision has been made. It's on the record. We have it recorded. Moving on to the next topic.
That's right. We got, let's talk about Secrets of the Jungle.
Yes.
Chat, did you watch it? Yeah. Let us know. Let us know your thoughts in the chat if you watched it. What'd you guys think?
I officially have a character in the Pokemon universe I hate more than Leon.
Oh,
no. Easily. The villain of this movie, so spoilers, we're towing into spoilers now. If you've not seen it.
Spoilers.
Just know that
it's coming. Pause and come back.
Yeah. But this news has been around if you're in the fandom for a while, because this movie's been out in Japan. But now it's out on Netflix. You can watch it in English, dub, subbed, whatever. Basically, the big villain of this movie is kind of what we expected. It's a person who's, you know, going against a naturalistic setting. It's this man named Zed, and he's trying to, you know, find this secret tree hidden in a jungle where humans aren't allowed. And he's a shady guy the entire time, like definitely bad vibes the whole time. But then at the end of the movie, I swear he like suffers an entire psychotic break, and he reveals that he murdered Coco's parents. He straight up murdered. So, God. Like, in this situation, if we have the Disney Tarzan movie,
it's pretty dark.
That Zed is the leopard, whatever thing that kills Tarzan's parents. Zed killed him.
That's amazing.
Like, it's horrifying. And I don't want to go into too much after that because I still want, you know, people to watch it. And I don't feel like crying. But it's pretty brutal. Like, Zed is basically the Winter Soldier of the Pokemon universe.
Definitely pretty dark.
It is dark. It is very dark, though. I think so that, you know, the movie is super adorable, though, except for that sudden left turn into darkness. I thought it was cute. I have felt this way for months now. I'd wish that Celebi had a more present role in this movie, especially because this is kind of riffing off Pokemon Forever from years ago. And I love that movie. I wish Celebi had been more in it. He's not. That was the only real bummer for me. But Data Zarud is pretty cute, I will say.
Speaking of, did you get your Data Zaruds?
I did, actually.
Oh, there we go.
So, there you know, I'm officially back in with the Pokemon Trainers Club.
you got that email?
I got my Zarud and my shiny Celebi, so I am content.
I will say the movie looked very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like just from an animation standpoint, like it was really nice.
My complaint about the Pokemon movies have never been the quality of animation. It's always been they're superfluous to like the plot of the anime. Like they never have any sort of like impact on anything. They're just it's like cool fanfic.
But I think that's necessary though, right? Because I think
No.
Because I think, like, look, these movies can exist and continue to do pretty well while having the anime go on, right? Like, this is kind of the problem. Like, I don't want to go too much into this, but this is kind of the problem that the MCU has. Like, the MCU can't go do that, and you can't go have, like, a set of standalone stuff without it, like, necessarily needing to matter, right? Like, it's tougher to do at this point than I would say, like, the Pokemon. Like, would I like a Pokemon movie that ties into the anime as well? Like, maybe, like, a bridge movie kind of thing from, you know, new season to new season? Yeah, sure. But I don't think that these movies necessarily need to tie into whatever's going on in the anime.
Well, I mean, the Pokemon franchise did it smart with its most recent, like, three movies or so, because they do take place in an alternate universe. Like, they're not part of the anime canon. But prior to that, you know, all of the movies kind of subsided and coexisted with whatever region and companions Ash was dealing with. I had always wanted those movies to be more canon because it made it a little bit more meaningful. Like, you could, even at the end, it just kind of erased everything that happened in the movie and, you know, referenced it maybe once or twice in the anime, you know, TV series itself. You know, that would have been something I loved. And that is a trend that is becoming more and more present in anime overall, not to get too much into that. But I mean, shows like Demon Slayer and Jujutsu Kaisen are approaching their movies with that kind of idea now. And they are doing so much better financially in terms of profit and returns than previous movies have done. Now, I mean, that could just be one off because the franchises are successful. But I feel like that method is becoming more and more popular and embraced. Pokemon, though, gets to sidestep it because all of these take place in an AU.
Right. But even then, like, using anime as an example, right? Like, you've got Pokemon as an example, you got Demon Slayer as an example, and you have what's going on with My Hero as another example, right? Like, that stuff is firmly in continuity. And so the question is that, like, I mean, does that hurt those movies or not?
No, it doesn't at all. Like, the My Hero movies, you know, are great in that, you know, they're added, you know, like the second movie was a little bit, you know, with the whole, like, Bakugo gets, you know, all for one or one for all briefly, you know, that was a little bit of a, you know, extreme. But, you know, otherwise, you know, like the original shtick of it, and I like how they do that. It's additive, you know, this is a plot, you know, like, oh, like in the first one, we're going to learn a little bit more about All Might, which is not something really.
The first one I appreciate as a backstory for sure.
Yeah. Well, like the most recent one gives you a bunch of new information on Endeavor and Hawks that you don't get normally.
Well, so. and the second movie, like the shtick of it was, it was our first bit of, like, you know, like, we're giving the hero, you know, we're giving these villains new quirks. Like, we're, you know, we're going beyond just the Nomus and we're like adding quirks to people. You know, that was like the first hint of that in the, you know, in the anime, which, you know, in the manga came along a lot later. And, you know, it that was, you know, that it made that feel more natural. Like, you don't have to do much to make them feel like additive. And, like, you know, like, I'm not saying you go full on like Demon Slayer. Like, with Demon Slayer, it was like, okay, we're going to do this arc from the manga. We're just going to do the full arc in 2 hours because it's intense. It's very critical to the plot. And then, you know, what they ended up having to do is now we're going to do that arc
again
in the anime
in the show.
Again as a more. You know,
the point of this tangent is basically when you want to start listening to comicbook.com's official anime podcast, hit me up. that's basically the point here.
All right. Before we get to the Pokemon fact of the week, I just want to run through some of the rest of these cards. I'm not going to separate them in groups of fours. I had them all separated that way. I'm just going to put them all in one and we'll just, like, barrel through them because
this means that Jim did not get a Charizard. Spoiler.
I haven't looked. I have not looked. There's just a lot, and we're just short on time. So we'll see. We will see. All right.
Oh, that's nice.
Cosmog.
Mm-hmm.
Another Kyogre.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh! Oh, man, I remember having this card. I love this one, Dark Gyarados. That's a cool one.
Oh, hey! Ooh. Surfing Pikachu.
Ooh, look at that big Chunko.
Wow.
Hello. Oh, that's a good one. I like
that's
that one.
That's a nice one. Another Xerneas. Another Lugia. Whoops. Oh, look at Cleffa.
Oh,
a little Cleffa. Another Mew. Another Zekrom. Cheese with the Zekroms.
Another
Kyogre. Kyogres. Ugh. Ugh. Reshiram.
Oh, hey! All right.
Surfing Pikachu. That's a cute one. Let's see.
Dialga.
Yep, Dialga.
I'll say we don't need to get in focus for these, you know.
Yeah. Yveltal. Osmog, Lunala. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen Lunala yet, but Lunala. Another Groudon.
Fuzzy Groudon. Fuzzy Ho-Oh. Another
Ho-Oh. Another Palkia. Man, this is another Solgaleo. Yveltal. Man, we are not having good luck here, folks.
Nope. Okay. So many Cosmog. Oh,
I see something
popping up. Something's poked up.
Oh, we do see something.
Oh, it's another surfing Pikachu.
Oh, another surfing Pikachu.
He's cute, though.
Kyogre.
No.
Jeez, another Reshiram.
Oh,
hey. That's pretty cool. Man, look at that classic holo. Remember when they moved to that? Oh, everyone lost their mind. And a flying Pikachu.
Oh, my God, that Pikachu is going to crush a jet.
I know.
Why is the jet so small?
No, that's a normal sized jet. It's just a really fat Pikachu, Jim.
Yeah, come on. Get with the program.
Oh, that Dark Gyarados looks great. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, right. I've always loved that.
So I didn't get my Dark Zap or my Rocket Zapdos.
Yep. So basically what I'm hearing is that Jim, once again, loses at Pokemon trading cards.
And then this ETB was not great. Which is, you know.
Not the worst either.
I mean, it is sure.
The worst.
All right, Christian, give us the Pokemon fact of the week.
Okay.
Stop being so sad.
We're continuing the Pokedex, and this week we're to Yanma and Yanmega. Now, Yanma is just your typical happy-go-lucky dragonfly. Nothing too special. It can see 360 degrees around it. Just a normal bug flying type. Then you get to Yanmega, and holy smokes. Like, Yanmega does not mess around. Yanmega, the very first thing that you hear in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, by churning its wings, it creates shockwaves that inflict critical internal injuries on foes. That right. That's right. It kills people by waving its wings.
Of course.
If that's not enough, it gets more intense. Its jaw power is so incredible. It is adept at biting apart foes while flying at high speeds. It's going to pick you up and rip you apart with its jaws. And then it gets even more intense. In X, it says it prefers to battle by biting apart foes' heads instantly. It just goes and decapitates you. You're just walking around. You hear a faint buzzing noise, and suddenly, boom, your head explodes.
That is horrifying. Jeez.
I mean, but don't dragonflies like do this though? Or am I thinking of praying mantises where they just
I don't know, Jim. Do dragonflies blow people's heads off? I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. They don't blow other people, but they blow other dragonflies' heads off. Like, I think that's like how they attack. They like eat the other one's face.
I mean, I'm sure there's definitely a basis in this because this is awfully dark to just come out of nowhere. But
let's go Jesus. I just said dragonfly rips. So I mean dragonflies, because you know lots of other, you know, lots of bugs rip off each other's heads, you know. I think that, you know, so yeah, sure, dragonflies are capable of that, but at the same time, you know, most dragonflies aren't the size of small military choppers, aren't capable of flying around a full human. You know, this thing is a weapon of war, which coincidentally, it's probably based off an attack helicopter. So, you know, it's this is a Pokemon that does not mess around. You know, if I were a Yanmega trader, like I would just definitely go for submissions. Like, I have brought out my killer Pokemon. If you value your Squirtle's life, surrender now or otherwise.
I mean, it says it's easily capable of transporting an adult in flight.
I just fly around on my Yanmega and just blow people's heads off. You know, it's like, you know, like I'm the Green Goblin.
It's just
behold my Yanmega. Anyone who crosses me loses their head.
What an intense Pokemon this is. It's like, yo, Yama's like, oh, look, it can look 360 degrees. Its evolution kills you in 5 different ways without you even blinking.
This is horrifying. I am reading that dragonflies do tend to eat their prey head first because dragonflies, 90% of their head is their eyes, which is why they have such good range of vision. So naturally, they try to attack head first so that their prey can't see what's happening. And then it takes them back to their perch and rips them apart because they're crazy.
It just cracks me up. It's like, Yanma can see 360 degrees. It flaps its wings really fast, guys. Yan Mega murders you in the night.
Basically. That's horrifying. I don't like that. I already don't have a thing for Pokemon.
What do you think Pokemon blood looks like? Is it red like normal blood?
Jim's asking the big questions.
I want to see what color Pokemon's blood is. It's not that. It's just, look, they were very clearly. I mean, it's in the Pokedex, right? So I'm not too far off base. Biting apart foes.
There's gotta be blood.
Almec says brown. We think it's dirt on the anime, but it's actually Pokemon blood.
I just want to point out, it's like, you know, if Jim were a Pokemon professor, it's like Professor Oak's like, we're studying the mystery of evolution. There's so much about Pokemon we don't know. And there's like, Pokemon Professor Jim, I've got a knife. Let's see what color this Pokemon bleeds.
But I mean, it wouldn't be that interesting if you live in that world, because surely you see Pokemon bleed all the time. But for us, we don't. We don't know. We just see scrapes. Ask
Nurse Joy. Nurse Joy is the person who would have to know this answer.
That's it. The next time we get a chance to interview somebody at the Pokemon company, that needs to be the first question. Hi, Christian Hoffer here from comicbook.com. I need to ask you a very important question, and then we'll get to whatever project you're here to talk about. But I need to know, do Pokemon bleed? What color is it?
It's like, we're going to study the mysteries of Pokemon blood. Like, apparently.
And then we follow that question up with, where do Pokemon eggs come from?
Oh no, that's not a conversation we want to have on tape.
Oh, it very much is a question, a comment that we want to have on tape. Like, I want on the record that Pokemon, like, how Pokemon mate. Like, tell me, Junichi Masuda, like, tell me, how do the Pokemon reproduce?
When you came up with Pokemon eggs, what were you thinking? Like,
are these like Pokemon live births? Tell me.
Are there Pokemon mammals, or are there mammal-like Pokemon creatures, or do they all just lay eggs?
Ditto, did you imagine how everybody would use Ditto? And on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
On that note, that is a perfect place to call it a day and a show.
I have information.
Oh, Megan's got
Detective
some breaking news.
When Pikachu almost dies, and there is some blood shown, and it is red.
Oh. But
there we have it.
So
we
in Detective Pikachu, at least, Pikachu bleeds red.
Yep, that makes sense. There, it's official. Pikachu does bleed red blood. A red-blooded American male like the rest of us. I have no idea what I'm doing with this.
Where are you going? Like,
someone, like, you know, like, play me off. Play me off, for the love of God.
Well, if you enjoyed this show, I don't know why, but if you...
Thank did, you.
Thank you. You can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. They truly are one of the best ways to help out the show. And like I said, we love everybody. We love everyone who shows up live. We love everyone who listens to us. We love everyone who tweets at us. At PokemonPodCB is the account. Otherwise, you can find me at Jim Viscardi. You can find Megan at Megan Peter CB, and Christian's at C Hoffer C Bus. We had a good time, fun time. I didn't get the cards I wanted, but that's okay. I got some great cards. Dark Gardos. I got the Rayquaza. I got the Full Art Pikachu card I wanted. So I'm going to go see if I can go find some more. We'll open up maybe some more packs in the coming weeks, see what we get, maybe fill out the collection. Otherwise, We hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and we'll catch you here at the same time, same place. Have a good one.